All right, hey guys, it's Chibi here, back with Chibi Cats. We took a break, but now we're back. And today we're here interviewing Kenneth, the founder of Shiesty, a great clothing brand. You can find them on Instagram. I'll drop the link in the description on all platforms so you can go check it out. And Kenneth, you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? Thanks for having me, Chibi. I'm Kenneth. Designer, curator, everything you can think of Shiesty. So yeah, I appreciate you for having me on the podcast, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so the first thing that I feel like everyone is wondering about when they would want to start their own clothing brand is, how did your brand start? Like, was it an idea you always wanted to do? Like, how did you pursue it? Like, what happened that made you go ahead and start?
Well, we can go back to about high school or early middle school days. I used to collect shoes a lot, like when the sneaker culture was like really big, with like sneaker platforms selling shoes, even like Facebook market platforms selling shoes. So like I was really one of the people on there that was really big on collecting sneakers. So like, and you know, sneaker culture has transformed into streetwear culture, basically. So like, it really came from that. It really came from me loving shoes and loving like colorways and shoes and designs and shoes, from Jordans to Foamposites to Air Maxes to Yeezys, you know what I mean? To things like that. And it really just progressed from that. I kind of dibbled and dabbled with doing a brand or like making clothes, quote unquote, with one of my friends in high school. We called it, it was called Broke Boys at the time. And yeah, so it was from there. Then I kind of just, it was my freshman year in college. And I just kind of was just like, man, whatever. Like, I wanted to do something. Like, I didn't really even think of it as anything. I didn't really have a plan or a set goal or even know what it was going to turn into, you know what I mean? I didn't even have a logo. So the name really just even came about. Just, I was eating lunch with my friend and my mom in my house. And like, I was on the website, like making of my first website or whatever. And it came to the part where you're like, what do you want your domain name to be? Or blah, 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 blah. And I just happened to say Shiesty. That's what I put, you know what I mean? And it kind of just took a life of its own after doing it for 3 years straight. So, yeah.
So, it was just like, okay, so you got to the point where you had to put your domain name in when you were making the website. And you're like, okay, I know my name, Shiesty. So once you get that name, you're setting up the website. How did you start planning? Like, what was that process like?
It wasn't even, honestly, bro, it wasn't planned. It was, I made that. Then the first thing I thought about was, okay, like, what do I want to sell? Like, you know what I mean? And I ended up just selling, they were suede hats. So I started making hats, honestly, first. So like, I got hats from online, and yeah, and just, that was it. They were suede blue hats. I didn't even do anything to them. I just put them online and put them on Instagram. And from there, it was just like, put on a website and just started showing people around me. And that was kind of the first steps in whatever happened. And from those suede hats, it kind of progressed to me finding a place where I can get patches, like iron-on patches, and still getting more hats and ironing on the patches. And I think what helped was I was always a person that understood style, you know what I mean? As in, like, if this even gives you more context, like in high school, I won best dressed in my high school, you know what I mean? So like, I was always one of those people that understood that what somebody would like to wear, you know what I mean? And then from me trying to plan towards even to what you see today, it was a process. It was a lot of things that went on in my life that kind of just it made sense towards the brand. You know what I mean? Like, another thing I could say is like, even the logo coming about, the logo did not come about from me trying to find a logo for the brand. It was more of, I was in college and I used to promote in clubs, like in the nightclubs and everything. And I ended up trying to create a promotion team. So I created a promotion team, and with a promotion team, you kind of need a logo and everything. So I kind of made the logo for Shiesty for the promotion team.
So you were promoting clubs? How did that work? Like, were people just entering? That's a crazy strategy. I haven't heard of that before.
Yeah, it was like, well, it wasn't really like I was promoting in clubs for the brand. I was promoting in clubs, and then like what I would do is, okay, yeah, I have this clothing line and everything. So I would promote in the clubs, and we would do like party buses and stuff like that. So all of my friends that would come and everything, they would either, oh, okay, hey, yeah, bro, I'll give you this t-shirt for $10. You give me $10, I give you this t-shirt. We go on the bus. Everybody's wearing the t-shirt. So all the girls kind of start seeing like, oh, what is this Shiesty stuff? What is this Shiesty stuff? We go to the clubs, we're in the section. Everybody has the t-shirt and stuff on. So it kind of built that way. And yeah, then it kind of took a life of its own from there, because I was in San Antonio at the time. I wasn't even in Houston. So it was kind of built from there, and built from college roots of people just supporting, because I was in college and I was a lot of people knew me, and a lot of people weren't doing that at the time. You know, like, we're 18, 19, like a lot of people are just focused on partying, having fun, you know what I mean? And I was just one of those people that just happened to have a clothing line, and people happened to gravitate towards it because of what we were doing and all the, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, these guys throw cool parties or whatever, and yo, he has a clothing line, or they're wearing a clothing line. What is this? Like, this is live. You know what I mean? And kind of went from there, honestly.
So from like promoting yourself in clubs and stuff, so how did you get your funding for that? Like, because you were giving out clothes, you're like, oh, I'll sell it to you for $10. How did you fund that whole operation?
We would get paid from the clubs. So, like, I would get paid, like, if I can give you figures, like, roughly around a night, if we would, it just depended on how many people came through the door. So, like, in a night, I could have walked out with $400. And that $400, instead of spending it on going to the mall or going to go buy this and that, I'm putting it into my clothes. I'm putting it into making more t-shirts. I'm putting it into making more whatever, like, it was at that time. Like, yeah, it was t-shirts. It was mostly t-shirts. And I kind of branched into shorts and stuff like that. Like, very simple shorts, like, you know, like mesh gym shorts. And from there, yeah, people just gravitated towards it. And another thing I would say is, like, it was more, every time I would release something or make something, it was always something that people liked. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was really just trying to sell it to my friends most of the time, because even when I dropped the hats, when I first started, to this day, I could not understand. I used to get orders from like Michigan and,
oh, wow.
You know what I mean? And New York and even some LA, even Hawaii at the time, you know what I mean? So I remember I was sitting in, I used to play soccer back in the day as well. So like, I was sitting in a hotel because I was on a college visit, and I was checking on the website, and I was like, man, what the heck? Who bought something from here? Because I got a notification that somebody bought something, and I looked at it, and it was like a person from Michigan, or like, it was a weird state, you know what I mean? And that's kind of when I knew that what I'm doing, people will gravitate towards it because of the ideas that I have, you know what I mean? And it's something that it's very unique. It's very unique that it happened to me, you know what I mean? Because like I told you, when I made this stuff, I didn't really think it was gonna be what it is today. I didn't even think it would amount to anything, you know what I mean? I just made it for the love of just, I wanted to say, hey, like, I wanna start making t-shirts. I'm tired of buying t-shirts at the mall. Like, you know what I mean? Like, So
the thing was that like the product was of value. People actually would consume it and they liked what you were making. So it like, you know, expended the whole process, which was
exactly. And that's kind of where a lot of people that want to start a clothing line or something like that get stuck on. A lot of people get stuck on the initial, I'm making this and I want to sell it for $30 and stuff like that. And I always kind of tell people is like, you kind of can't focus on making money when you first start. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of impossible because you're going to have to give things away. You're going to have to give things for free. Why? So people can see it. Because you're not going to, it's not going to grow if it's not on somebody. You know what I mean?
So the thing is that instead of, you would say like the major mistakes that people make when they're making their own clothing brand is that they're trying to flip a profit instead of actually growing the brand.
Exactly. Because I don't want to say for everybody, but a lot of people I meet, you can kind of tell that it's either they want to make clothes because they've seen somebody else making clothes and it's working for them. You know what I mean? Rather than it being something that you're passionate about, because when it does come to when it starts getting big, you're making all this money. You know what I mean? So it's now like you can get lazy, because if you're not passionate about what you're doing, like it will show in your clothes. You know what I mean?
So, and also you do all the designs for the clothes. How does that work?
How can I explain it? Like, it's really what I feel like making, honestly. At this point, it's just like, I'll really just come up with ideas, or a lot of ideas come from things I see. You know what I mean? So like, let's say if I'm talking about our shorts are based upon the NBA, legit. Like, if I'm being honest and I give people insight on what we do, like what I do, it's based on the NBA. It's based on what my favorite teams are, my favorite colors and teams are, you know what I mean? And then another thing I will say that helps with me is like, I'm really good with colors. So like, I'm good with mixing and matching colors to make a whole piece, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So like, that kind of helps with the design. Then a lot of things as well is like, it's like fabrics and logo placements, you know what I mean? Because sometimes it's not really too much design. It's more the piece does all the talking, then the logo placement like ties everything together, you know what I mean? So.
All right, and then as comes with every brand, there's always like a brand message. Like, what would you say is Shiesty's message? Like, if someone sees it, like, how do you explain your brand to them?
It's expressing what I always say. It's just expressing your youthfulness in color, really, because my brand is based off of color. It's not, you hardly see like me make a full black piece, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And that's probably why you even seen it as well, is because you go on the Instagram and it's very, very vibrant. It's not
vibrant. It looks good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not bland. And I make things so when you wear it, it's, let's say you go out and you wear it, you're going to be the person that stands out of everybody. Why? Because it's very, very vibrant and loud. It's loud. And when I say loud, it's not loud to the point where it's overtaking the whole like vibe that you're in. It's something where you see it and everybody's like, man, what is that? You know what I'm like? That's my whole goal with clothes. It's like to make things that are vibrant and fashion forward, you know what I mean? And still very, very simple so everybody can wear it. Because if you're making things that are too complex, the average person cannot wear it, you know what I mean? And I want my clothes to be for the average person. I'm not really a designer or owner that wants my brand to be like Rick Owens or Balenciaga, you know what I mean? I want it to be something where the youth can be able to gravitate towards and the older generations are able to get their youthfulness from the clothes.
And like that itself, the whole like vibrancy of the clothing itself is a marketing strategy on its own, because it's like, oh, this stands out. When someone goes out wearing the shiesty clothing, there's always gonna be someone who asks, oh, what is that? Where'd you get this from? And things like that. So that helps a lot. But speaking of like marketing tactics, I see that you guys have like a lot of models and stuff always wearing your, like on the page, there are like a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
How did that process work? Did you like reach out to people and like, hey, do you wanna wear this for this? Like, how do people become brand ambassadors and that of?
Okay, so more of the models that are on there are kind of different from the brand ambassadors. So like the models that are on the page are basically sourced by me, you know what I mean? Because I take pictures. So I take all the pictures you see on Shiesty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I edit all of them. You know what I mean? So like progressing from that, I'll tell you how I got there. So like when I first started, obviously I didn't take pictures and stuff like that, but I used to use some photographers that I kind of would see on Instagram that I kind of liked their work and stuff like that. But the problem was that like when you're making a brand for yourself and it's your brand, another person cannot see your vision the same way you can, if that makes sense. So like me learning how to take pictures in photography kind of progressed my brand a lot, I honestly think, because without the pictures, the clothes doesn't make sense. That's what I always say. Like if the Instagram or the portraits or the editorials that we do for these releases don't make the clothes come out the way I want them to, you know what I mean? It's not going to gravitate towards somebody looking at on a screen on their phone. So it kind of progressed from that. And from sourcing the models, it was just more like situations would happen. Like I would have a fashion show. Let's say I have a fashion show with Fashion Week in Houston or something like that. We would have about 14, 15, 16 models. And then obviously you kind of have to, when you're owning something, you're doing something, you kind of always have to be in the present, but always be thinking about like what you're trying to gain from it. You know what I mean? So like, that's exactly how the models will come about. It's from seeing these people who do have style and have this aesthetic that I like. And then from there you progress with them. And from shooting with them, obviously you get introduced to way more people. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it goes. And then for being a brand ambassador, for us, it's not really more like you're a brand ambassador, so you get to do photo shoots. No, I kind of base the brand ambassadors on joining the team. So like I told you, like I do everything by myself. So gaining brand ambassadors helps me because we're able to progress this with other people. They get into the business part of it. They get into the marketing part of it, the parts that that create revenue for them, that they get paid off of this stuff. They get free clothes off of this stuff from marketing these things and spreading it to their own audience. You know what I mean? Because I'm only one person. I cannot reach the tens of thousands of people that they know. You know what I mean? And that's how we need it to grow. So that's kind of what we do with brand ambassadors. It's more for people to gain marketing, to gain insight on the clothes. So it's kind of a good thing for people who want to do clothes, you know what I mean? To become a brand ambassador, because you're in contact with me 24/7, you ask any question, I answer the phone, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what we relay it on.
Would you credit the brand ambassador strategy to the growth? Do you think that like directly correlates, or like is that the biggest factor of the growth, or is there like are there other strategies?
I wouldn't say it's the biggest factor in the growth, because like I said, a lot of people are motivated the way you are, you know what I'm saying? So like, okay, they get free clothes and everything, but this is your brand, you get. So like if we have like 16 brand ambassadors that we fired. These 16 brand ambassadors do not post Shiesty every day. They don't. I'm pretty sure they don't talk about it every day. You know what I mean? So it's, I think for marketing, it's more putting it in their face. Like, if you make things, I always say it like this, if you make things annoying to somebody, they're gonna eventually pay attention to it. You know what I mean? If you're seeing something every day, every day, every day, you're eventually gonna be like, yo, okay, let me actually just look at this shit. You know what I mean? And that's how it grows. Because once you start doing that, then the content that you're putting out is really dope. People will always gravitate towards dope things. It's that's human nature.
That is true. Another thing I was going to ask is that I was going through the feed, right? Then I saw that you guys were in the British GQ magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that work? And like, what was your reaction to it all when it happened?
I feel that story is pretty funny. Like, it was my, the first time they hit me up was, I want to say, like my junior year in college. And yeah, I woke up one morning, and I was just taking a shower, eating breakfast, about to go to class. Mm-hmm. I always look at my email. So like, I was looking at my email in the morning, and it just said British GQ feature, and it had a lady's name on it. You know what I mean? And it was a long message about how they had seen my stuff, all this stuff. Like, they have like a PR that searches for stuff that is dope on Instagram. It was really on Instagram that they found out about it. And I didn't believe it at first. Like, I read the whole email and I was like, bro, this is fake. So you know what I mean? So I emailed them back with a long message. I was like, yo, thank you for blah, 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 this and that. I appreciate you for telling me this and stuff like that, but for you to be able to, like, for us to make this work, like, we have to get on a call or something, like, for real. So probably like 2 days later, I get another email, a very personal email. The lady was like, yeah, no problem, this and that. We're in England, so we have to kind of figure out the time difference and everything. And what was crazy is because I was born in England. I have a lot of family in England. So, like, it's weird. So, yeah, so we kind of got situated and everything. Then we got on a call. And, yeah, the lady was very, very, very adamant about how the clothes was very, very much different from what she's seen in a lot of places, especially from me not being like a label brand, you know what I mean? Like Supreme, Bape, shit like that. So like, yeah. And I got on a call with them, and from there, she was telling me how they wanted to run about 7 campaigns with the clothes. And yeah. And from there it was history. Like, I just had to do some editorials from them, and I took the pictures as well. I got one of my homies to take the pictures. He lives in LA now. His name's Dior Vision. Shout out to him. But yeah, so we kind of did some editorials for them and just sent them in. They had a deadline, and yeah, that was it. And from there, the rest is history. And even from there, man, from having it in there, I got a few other ones. I got one in Vogue, Italia, I think. Yeah, that's what it's called. And there was another one that was trying to reach out to me, but I never got back to them, honestly, because I was really too busy. But it was a few that reached out, but it was really crazy. And it was kind of surreal, man. You know what I mean? Like I told you before, I didn't think this was going to be something that would progress into this.
What was that like? Okay, so would you determine that as like, you knew like, okay, we blew up. When would that be? When do you think that was?
What do you mean?
Like, when did you know, like, okay, we're a big brand now? When was that moment?
I mean, I would say, yeah, we're a big brand. And I do believe that, and I want to say that. But, like, at the same time, I still think we're growing. You know what I mean? We're growing, and we're still growing at a rapid pace, but we're growing because I always say, like, regardless, those are stepping stones to getting to where you're supposed to be. You know what I mean? If I didn't get that, then I know I'm not doing something right. So I don't really take that as us being like blowing up or anything, because at the end of the day, like, not a lot of people know about it. It's the truth. Like, some people don't know about it, you know? So it's one of those things where, like, you take it as a blessing, man. And you keep doing what you're doing, because that, it just gives you more motivation to go. What I would say for me, when I would know that we've blown up or whatever it is when we have a store. Yeah, you know what I mean? When we have a storefront where it's only shiesty, it's, you know what I mean? Those are things that I look at as you've progressed from making simple t-shirts to where you have a whole store now. You know what I mean? Because the features in the magazines, they're cool and everything. I don't get me wrong, I love them. But growing the brand is way different from getting a feature in a magazine. You know what I mean? It's showing you that people are watching what you're doing. But at the same time, you know what I mean? We still need to push the narrative of making it bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, at the end of the day, it's all about expansion.
Exactly.
There's no real ceiling at all. How big can you take this thing?
Yeah.
It started from the hats, and now it's, like, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's yeah. really cool. I really mess with the brand. So I might have to, you know, I might have to go cop something from the website.
Appreciate you, man.
Is there still, because I know there's some stuff from the thing that, right.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was saying, is everything sold out on the website?
No, not everything. I mean, some things I haven't put up. Some things are, I actually dropped some new things about yesterday and 2 days ago.
Thinking about the shorts that were sold.
Oh, yeah, man. The shorts are sold out. Like, the thing with the shorts, too, is, like, I've kind of made them to where it's, like, they're very limited, bro. Like, what I do with them is when they drop, I drop them for a very nice price. You know what I mean? And, like, they go like hotcakes at this point because a lot of people love them, you know? So once they sell out, and they sell out, and I don't, like, restock, like, it'll probably be a few, like, one or two colorways I'll do again. But, like, I don't restock in them at all, because what's the point of restocking in something? Like, you want it to sell out, and we'll make enough to where we've seen a lot of people buy them, you know what I mean? So they don't get restocked. And it makes the brand more exclusive, you know what I mean? That's what I want. I want it to be, some pieces are very limited pieces where, like, you know, once they drop them, you have to go get them. And other things, yeah, they're there for, like, two seasons, you know what I mean? So, like, you're able to get them all the time. So you're able to get some pieces, and some pieces you're not supposed to be able to get.
And how do the drops work? Like, is there, like, a schedule? How does that process?
I kind of try and drop something every, I want to say, like, a week and a half. Every week and a half, I kind of try and drop something for everybody and for people, because it's, most of the time, it's like people will ask me, yo, bro, like, I want to get this, or do you have this and it's not out yet, or things like that. So I kind of try and do it once every 2 weeks. Then, like, for the more exclusive things that I make, that, like, maybe, like, the jeans jackets, the shorts, the cargo pants, stuff like that, like, I try and do, like, one every season. So, like, especially for, like, the shorts, we all know it's from, like, spring to late October. I'm in Texas, so, like, maybe even early November. So we try and do a run of shorts from then to then, and everything in between that is now you don't really know what's going to drop. It's just, it's whatever I feel at that time that I will drop, because like I said, I do it by myself. So I can feel today I want to drop gloves, you know what I mean? And the gloves would be out. Like I don't know if you saw on the Instagram, like we're dropping some shoes.
Those shoes are awesome.
We're dropping some shoes very soon too. So like, you know what I mean? It's very, for me, it's very impulse with a lot of the drops, because that's how fashion is, you know, especially streetwear. You can't really, like you said, you can't have a cap on something because you're trying to grow.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess at the end of the day, when you don't have a cap on anything, it makes you want to grow even more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's see how far I can push this idea I started with and keep on going with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the brand has, it's getting big. It's big already. It's getting bigger. And hopefully you guys will be able to get us the store. You know, how have you had any like goal for the day you want to open a store, a year? You're trying to be like, okay, yeah. Like,
I'll think about this time next year.
This time next year?
Definitely.
Any ideas for like physical location yet? Like, is it going to be in your hometown?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be in Houston.
Okay.
It'll definitely be in Houston, but what I will say too is like, I want to have it in Houston and have one in hopefully progress to having one in like on like Fairfax and Melrose in LA, because I go to LA often just to do pop-ups and just be out there with the brand, you know what I mean? And it gets a lot of love. A lot of people really, really like it out there. You know what I mean? So.
All right, yeah. All right, no problem, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. It's been great. You guys should definitely go check out their Instagram. They have a lot of dope pieces. It's Shiesty Clothing. All right, that's it, guys. I'll see you later.